Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of week. You download the Crazy Sheet, you get you something cold to drink, you snuggle up, and you get ready to talk about some college football. I'm Mark, and I'm in the College Football Podcasting Studio, and Scotty's at home, man, getting ready for some bowl season. How are you, brother?
Man, I'm good. Just trying to hammer down, doing budgets before the end of the year. It's the least fun part of my job, but we'll get it done.
Well, you think doing budgets is less fun than trying to track down who's going to play on some of these teams when it comes to bowl season?
No. I mean, it is. I mean, you go in, and it is, as I look right now, there just in the SEC, there are 164 players that entered the portal. 147 are still available. Yeah. I mean, that's in one league. I mean, you were talking a league that's only 14 teams because Texas and Oklahoma aren't in this deal yet. I mean, holy smokes, you're talking 10 kids a team.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. So when we're looking at this podcast, trying to get ready, we finished the season on high notes. We're about 10 units up. We didn't get an Army-Navy podcast out. Schedules just didn't work out with one game. We thought we'd give it a wash. But we've got a shit ton of bowl games. I think there's 43 of them. Could be right, wrong. That we got a total up in there. And looking at these, used to we would do two podcasts on the bowls. I think this time we may break it into three because trying to figure out who's going to be on some of these rosters come game time is becoming difficult. And you're seeing massive line shift. I know Right Angle Sports has had some releases. The Tailgate Tents had some releases that are putting things out there. And so you're having to really try to dig in the tea leaves and figure out who's going to be on these rosters, what they're going to do, how it's going to roll. I mean, you look at Oklahoma as an example. I mean, Dylan Gabriel's already hit the portal, transferred out. He's going to be at Oregon. But, you know, you've got the backup kid that everybody's excited to see, and they don't seem like they're that worried about it. And it's just an interesting dynamic. I would say probably the most difficult and strangest bowl season I've tried to get ready for since you and I started doing this 12 years ago.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. This is just turning into – it's just a fiasco. I mean, there's no other way to say it. I mean, it is just absolutely insane. No other way to say it. I'm sitting here looking at Big Ten transfers right now, and it is wild. I mean, just guys from everywhere, guys that play, guys that start, guys that don't start. I mean, it's insane. I mean, just the money's ridiculous. This is not sustainable. This is just complete craziness. But there are people throwing just money at it, trying to win now, win fast. They have to do something. This is completely stupid. But if people are willing to pay it, then take off. But man, I cannot imagine giving some of these nitwits $400,000, $500,000. I mean, Catalan from Arkansas got $500,000 to go sit on the bench at Texas last year.
Yeah.
I mean, we basically said he's back in the portal, you know? I mean, what's he looking for now? Does he want $400,000 again? I mean, because he ain't going to get it. He's sat on the bench. I mean, this is just complete and utter stupidity. I mean, there's no other way to say it.
Well, you know they're going to have to change the portal again for next year because next year you got to realize when they go to the 12-team playoff, and whether you're a playoff person or not, that's up to you. I'm all for it. It's more quality games. I love bowl season still, and we're going to get into kind of some of the systems you can look at from a breakdown perspective. But, you know, at the same time, it's like next year when you're going to have 12 teams in, you're going to look up and try to figure out, is there going to be a kid that's a starter at a key position that wants to transfer out and he has to get in the portal to transfer out possibly before they play their game? And so, I don't know, man. It's an interesting situation. And I will tell you this much. If you are betting on bowl games, I highly recommend maybe playing some half-unit plays and not wasting out whatever your bankroll would have been if you won. I mean, we won on the season. I'm going to keep some of my winnings in my pocket as I come back in here to wager because you got lines that are moving daily with releases. I mean, you look at the screen now, and there's been changes in the last 10 minutes on games you and I are about to talk about on this podcast. And so,
yeah, There's so much happening. It's so many players coming in, leaving. You know, it's just, I mean, it really is, I mean, just crazy, you know, what's going on. And I will tell you, I'm not going to gamble a ton on, especially these early bowl games. I probably will as we get to the playoff. My only thing on the 12-team playoff, we have to make some adjustments to the schedule. These kids can't play. So let's take Alabama, for instance. When we go to a 12-team playoff, if they still have an SEC conference championship and Bama wins it, and let's not even take Bama. That's a poor example. Let's take Georgia. They still are going to make a 12-team playoff. They lost that ball game. They're, what, the sixth seed in what they had them?
Yeah.
So they've got to play the first round game. So that means they've got to play to cut it to 8, then play to cut it to 4 because they likely win, play to cut it to 2. You're talking 3 or 4 more games if you're going to go win a natty. On top of 13 games, that's an NFL schedule. I mean, I want to know, other than money, what the hell anybody's thinking about. I have to watch the rule in football every week that a kid gets tossed for targeting. I'll take the Mississippi State player against Ole Miss. That's a hit by rule that was targeting.
Correct.
By rule that was targeting. What the hell is he supposed to let him do? Get the first down? He's trying to stop him from getting the first down. That's the reason he goes in low. It's the reason the quarterback dove. So he gets tossed trying to make a great football play. Oh, we're just concerned about player safety. But we can go play 17 games?
I don't know, man. But they got
it's
hurt.
Truly the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I would love to listen to someone intelligent that is going to try to sell this to people, for me to ask that question and watch them stumble dead ass over it for 40 minutes as they and ah, because it doesn't square.
Well,
it doesn't. It's like in politics telling me we got a gender pay gap and saying, oh, but we don't know what a girl and a boy are. If that makes any sense. It's not logical. It does not. You cannot tell me you're concerned about player safety and telling that we ought to take a 19-year-old kid and say, you know what, you got to play 17 games. He plays at an Ohio State, and he's going to play 16 or 17 games all 3 years he's in college, or 4 years he's in college. That's the bottom line. He is 4 years into an NFL career the day he walks out of Ohio State.
Yeah. I mean, but it's the same thing. If you're on a good high school football team, you're going to play a 12 to 15 game schedule if you make it all the way to the state championship. And so, I mean, and these guys are getting paid with the portal, the way it's all set up. I don't care. I'm here to gamble and have a good time and watch some college football. And these guys are getting it, you know, as good as it's ever been at this point. I mean, you can roll in and out of the portal. You're getting paid. I mean, now you got to start putting contracts together to be like, hey, if we make it to the college football playoff, you cannot go in the portal, you know, or you're not getting the bonus check at the end of the rainbow on this thing. And so it's just, it's an interesting time. It's an interesting time, and it's been like that.
What are your thoughts on the guys who are going into the portal and then they're saying, oh, we don't get the money. You know, oh, I didn't get what I was promised.
Well, I mean, that's kind of part of life. I mean, I don't know how these contracts are all set up and you don't know what's in there, but I feel like there's a lot of handshake deals that are going on. I can't wait for all the tax evasion problems that these guys are going to run into down the road. But if it ever comes out on what's going on with this money. But
yeah, let me tell you, this year, they're back wanting brown bag specials. It was all portal money that first year or two. And now they're all like, oh, we got to pay taxes on that. I'm making $500,000. Hey, I want $250 under the table.
Yeah, it's a...
Well, that's how you get stuck, because that old boy may be like, you know what? Let's take Catalan, for instance. If he makes that deal, dude, you ain't even playing. I ain't giving you $250.
He may go full Rick. You know? He may go full Rick James, man. Fuck your couch. This is what I want right now. This is my deal. I'm gonna put my muddy ass feet on this couch. I want my money now. That's what he's gonna say.
I love it. I mean, look, it's a fiasco. You know, I'm not a fan of the. Here's the thing. I have no problem with guys getting paid. but it really ought to be an NIL deal. This is just pay for play. And when you combine that with a wide open portal, it's a fiasco. I mean, what's going on right now is a fiasco, and it's both. It's not just players. So please don't take it that way. You got teams cutting guys loose as well, like mad, making no investment to work on those kids and get them better. It's just like, hit the road, we'll find somebody else in the portal. I don't like it all the way around, but they have to do something on a pay structure scale to even this out. There are teams that simply just can't compete. They don't have a chance to be successful. And then you've got teams that basically, it looks like, just have unlimited money, that their fan base wants to win so bad. They'll pay and do whatever they got to do just so they can brag at the country club about doing it. That's not me. I would never give one of these nitwits gigantic money, but whatever. You know, it is, that's not me, but I know that I listen to a lot of people talk about and bragging about what all they do all the time. Take off. It's your money. You do what you want to do. But I think it's the dumbest thing ever to give it to somebody if you got kids and not give it to your kids. Go take an investment account out of $300,000-$400,000 for your kid and watch what it is if he's 15 years old when he's 60. But I digress.
Oh, boy. All right, Scotty, we're going to jump into this. We are going to try to knock out the first handful of bowl games this Saturday. We've got a full slate. Looks like about 8 to 10 games that we've got dialed up. And if you think gambling on this is difficult, the NFL is not any better because there's so many backup quarterbacks playing. You're just all over the map trying to keep up with it. But we'll roll through each of the games, let you know if we've got a play or not and what that's going to be. First game we've got is Saturday, which would be Georgia Southern and Ohio would be matched up in this one. Line opened at, let me see here, because we've had a lot of line movement, so let me pull this thing up. Line opened at Ohio -1.5, over-unders 54.5. Immediately got bet down on the news that Rourke won't be playing for quarterback at Ohio. And the under's down at 49.5, and Georgia Southern is now -3.5. I'm rolling Georgia Southern here. This is actually one of my favorite plays in this early slate, -3. I'm going to try to find a -3. I might even just take the money line at about -150. Ohio, that was one of our big teams in the MAC, and this team has just not looked good all season. They've looked broken offensively. They've never been able to get this thing rolling. Georgia Southern's going to want to fling it all over. And the other reason I really like Georgia Southern here is this is a MAC Sunbelt matchup. And I remember a few years ago, we thought these would be awesome to get. The MAC's terrible. It has got to be the worst conference by far with all the portal things that have gone on because they really need player development. And the Sun Belt, brother, they got like almost their whole conference made a bowl this year. And it's been good football all the way around in this. And I am going to roll with Georgia Southern -3 or -150 and take them on the money line for my first bet of the bowl season.
I like that. I like that as well. I will tell you that I just think the MAC is it was worse this year, and they didn't get hemorrhaged as bad as you think. I mean, look, we all watched the MAC defensive lineman from Florida State make some huge plays, but at the same time, some of the better teams didn't get destroyed in the portal like you would expect. That is not the case this year, my friend. There are so many dudes in the portal. I think they've got 107 in the portal right now from the MAC, 95 still available. They're going to get some attention. They're going to get some action for some guys. And so it'll be interesting. I just am not – this team was so inept when Rourke couldn't play that I have no confidence. And I understand they got the head coach, the offensive guy, former offensive coordinator, been there for years. I understand that he's got time to adjust that and get some play in for this bowl game. He's had a couple of weeks, but it just didn't look like that backup was capable of doing it.
No.
I mean, they're going to have to go more of a run, a lot of quarterback run, stuff like that. I just think Georgia Southern's too explosive here, can score too many points. I think they separated. I like Georgia Southern a lot in this game.
Myrtle Beach Bowl, by the way, kicks off 10 a.m. Saturday morning, Central Time, 11 Eastern. It'll be your first play. We're going to take Georgia Southern on the money line, and we're going to take some of -3. I'm going to skip the Cricket Celebration Bowl, but if I play it, I'm playing Florida A&M. They've kind of been a wagon this year in the FCS. Let's go to Arnold Carrier's New Orleans Bowl. Interesting matchup. Jacksonville State against Ulala in this one. And, you know, Ulala has played here several times and done really well. New Orleans and Lafayette are just a stone's throw away from each other. But I kind of like Jacksonville State in this game. I haven't played it yet. But Jacksonville State, I think they're stoked to be in a bowl game. And ULL snuck into being 6-6 by the skin of their teeth. I know we just talked about the Sun Belt being a good conference and what it was this year, but I like Jacksonville State here. This is a team all year that competed hard. They run with a lot of tempo. Their defense is actually pretty good. And ULL just did not do anything to impress me. I lean Jacksonville State, but I don't have a play on that one yet.
Yeah, Jacksonville State obviously did a pretty good job, but I will probably stay away from this game. I still am stunned that he got them to 9 wins this year. Just an incredible job. But
Rich Rod, baby. Rich Rod.
I will probably stay away from that game just because there's games I like better.
Next one we got. I'm going to try to name all these and tell you where they are. This is the Cure Bowl, but is the Avocados from Mexico Cure Bowl. Highly recommend watching this one. It's going to be some fantastic commercials. We got Miami of Ohio, Appy State. We'll be lining up in this one. And let me get you a number here. App State opened up 4.5, over-under is 51.5. Current line is -6.5 for Appalachian State, and 44.5 is the total. If you're going to play this one, I would lean to taking Appalachian State. They had an offensive explosion at the back end of the season. You know, they pulled that win out against JMU, but they really started flowing better, I thought. And Miami of Ohio, since they've gone to the backup quarterback, has been really limited offensively. I think that they kind of were putting up 17, 18 points a game those last couple of games, really leaning on the defense in this spot. I might play a first half under as well. I like playing a lot of those in bowl games, but I don't have a play here, but I'd lean Appy State.
Yeah, I would lean Appy State as well, exactly what you said. I think we may have too much of a difference in talent on that offense. That offense got where it was playing pretty well for Appy at the end of the year. So I expect them to be a good football team in this deal. But they've had some guys hit the portal too. So again, you just never know what you're going to get in these kinds of ball games. And the difficulty on the portal, because guys, we see guys hit portals and sometimes they've been just ushered along, or the other team doesn't want them back. They think they're worth X and the team's only willing to pay them Y. And those numbers don't match up, boom, that guy's in the portal, you know? And so sometimes it's a mutual parting of the ways, or sometimes they've been forced to go into the portal. So it really is, you got to read the tea leaves of this, of who is there by force and who's there by choice.
Anyway, I have got that. Scotty, the next one I'll be on. Let's get to the Isleta New Mexico Bowl. This will be played in Albuquerque, New Mexico State. Diego Pavia, baby. And Fresnac will be in this one. I expect this to be a sellout. I mean, they're playing in their hometown. I think New Mexico State fans are going to roll out like crazy.
No, not hometown. They're in Las Cruces.
Oh, that's right, in Las Cruces. They're in the same state.
Hours up the road.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. But they're in the same state. I expect this one to be sold out. I don't expect Fresno to have anybody at this one. Tedford's not coaching after a surgical procedure, and Fresno State really fell off at the end of the season on this one. New Mexico State comes in -3, over-unders at 51. I'm going to take New Mexico State on the money line at -150. Just take them to win on this one and roll from there. I like New Mexico State. Jerry Kill covers. Let's get it done. And let's take New Mexico State one more time this season.
4:45 kickoff late in the afternoon. That's going to be about probably 40 degrees at kickoff. Lows going down to 29. It'll be nice and crisp for the boys from Fresno. Yes, I would take New Mexico State in this ball game if I'm gambling.
I feel like the wind always blows balls in this game too, but it's supposed to be limited in this one.
Yeah, it's not that weather looks great on Saturday. It's a high of 50, just a slight chance of rain, small wind out of the north at 6.
Love the trophy too, the giant Indian sculpture thing that they've got there, the big vase. Didn't no Leach point. Almost drop it 1 year when he was at Washington State when they won?
Yes, he sure did.
Anyway, so I'm rolling New Mexico State -3 on the money line that we've got from that one. Next we want to go to, we'll go to another what we could call a home game, is the Starco Brands L.A. Bowl hosted by Gronk. Did you know that?
I love it.
You've got UCLA and Boise State. You would, and this one's being played at SoFi. They're playing at Inglewood. You would think UCLA is going to fill it out. I don't know what kind of fan base you're going to get from either one of these teams. Boise State fired Avalos 6 to 8 games into the season, then proceeded to go ahead and qualify for the conference championship and get all the way there. I mean, what a strange situation this has been with them. The offensive coordinator is gone. The guy that was the interim is now taken over as the head coach in this position. And the starting quarterback from Boise State, oh, by the way, has transferred out. He's gone. The starting quarterback at UCLA has transferred out. He's gone. The backup quarterback for UCLA has transferred out. He's gone. So you're probably going to get Ethan Garbers in this one. And I'm not even sure who's playing for Boise State at this point because it's their third-string quarterback, I believe. I don't even think Masterson's there anymore. And you've lost all the wide receivers from Boise. We talked about this a few weeks ago. This line, looking at it now, over-under is 48.5. UCLA's laying 4. I'm going to play this game first half under and probably full game under if I can get a 49 because I don't know how Boise State's going to score on this UCLA defense, and I don't think Chip Kelly gives a shit about bowl games. He's got a terrible record in bowls as far as covering goes, but I think the defense will step up and play hard. And then you've got a backup quarterback for UCLA in there that's not nearly as athletic as either one of the guys that they had in front of him. So if I'm going under first half and under full game in this one.
Yeah, Kelly could care less, but he's going to care more than the fans. There won't be 8 people there. I mean, they can't draw people to a good game.
No.
I mean, unless they're going to give away free beer and nachos, there ain't going to be anybody at this game. And so, I mean, Boise will have more fans there probably than UCLA does because those guys do love Boise. They are not scared to pack up and follow the Broncos. But, UCLA is just they better learn to travel. They better learn to support their team as they're getting ready to go in the Big Ten because it's going to be – they'll have their house taken over, especially when they start playing in November. Teams will be – people will be like, man, I get to go to L.A. in November. Let's go knock this out. They will fill up their stadium. Yes, the under is the way to go. I like the under in this ball game. First half's probably not a bad play in this. So I like both your calls on this.
If you want a VIP ticket to the L.A. Bowl, you can get one for $130 if you still need a ticket. And my guess is if you hold your water, it'll get cheaper if you'll wait until Friday is what you've got in that situation.
And you want to know what the beauty of that is? The universities are both stuck paying $250 for bowl tickets or whatever. You know.
Next one we got here, the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl played in Shreve, Vegas, Louisiana. Two of the coldest games I have ever sat in person at were in the Independence Bowl. One was to watch Mississippi State play, where we were actually – I wasn't with you, but we were actually taking fence posts off of the Louisiana State Fairgrounds and burning them in the parking lot to stay warm. And then it snowed. It snowed balls. And then I was also at this game to watch Texas Tech because y'all played A&M, and I was there to watch Texas Tech play Ole Miss.
That was cold, too.
And it was so cold. And we were in the back of the end zone at the top. Wind was blowing.
Who won that game? It was a field goal. Did Ole Miss win that with a field goal at the end?
I can't even remember, to be honest with you. It was so cold in that spot. And then you get to warm yourself up by going to, like, the Horseshoe, which is a complete dungeon of a casino that you can get in there and get you some $5 craps. You know, if I'd known about the Iron Cross back then, I would have probably just stayed at the Horseshoe and just bet the Iron Cross in the no 4, no 10 for hours at a time to see if
I can stop. I have a great story for the listeners for that ball game, but against A&M when it snowed. None of us had, like, wet. I mean, you don't expect it to snow.
Well, you couldn't get the weather back then. Nobody had cell phones.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we're all traveling, and nobody knows it's about to snow. And I will never forget tailgating. The guy who flew the university team plane, I knew he had a daughter my age, and he looks up and goes, "Dude, you are going to freeze to death." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "Man, that wool coat's going to be soaking wet in about 2 hours. I'm like, "What? No idea it's going to snow." I literally walk in to the stadium, roll right up to the concession stand. This girl's standing there. I said, I would like to buy about 5 garbage bags. And the girl looks at me and goes, what? We don't sell garbage bags. I laid $20 on the counter. There's a whole roll right over there. I said, at this point, we're just negotiating the price. She looks at me, takes that $20 and goes, honey, for $20, you can have the whole roll. I said, I don't need the whole roll. I just need 5 or 6. Off I went. We watched the game, dry as we could be.
That game, Jamar Toombs was the big running back for A&M in that game.
And we got another. We had a huge guy, too, Dante Walker. Yeah. They actually had a pretty good team that year. Dante Walker, DeCenzo Miller, they actually were pretty good that year.
So, back to this game. Texas Tech-Cal in this one. This is going to be actually a pretty fun game to watch. I think the weather's actually supposed to be pretty good in this one. If you haven't watched Cal play this year, this is not the Cal team of the last couple of years. They've got some go-go offense. They'll get it moving around. I'm assuming they'll be interested to play in this game because they hadn't been bowl eligible in a bit. And Texas Tech coming in here probably off of what you could consider to be a disappointing season. A lot of high expectations for Tech, didn't get there, but they did finish 6-6, and they do get to go to a bowl game. Texas Tech quarterback Tyler Shuck broke his leg and is transferring out. I think he'll be 25 years old next year when he starts, which is crazy. But the backup quarterback's been in there, and this team's been very, very run-reliant. Brooks is coming back from best I could heard for another year. He led the Big 12 and was one of the top rushers in the country. And Tech's defense is, I think it's a little bit more stout than you would expect here. I like Texas Tech. You can find a -2.5. I would take Texas Tech -2.5 in this one. Over-under's 58, leading you to believe we're going to get some fireworks in this one. I would almost lean a little bit under 2, but I would definitely take Texas Tech minus the points. I think they're going to ground and pound in this one where Cal's going to be trying to air it out. And so I would lean Texas Tech -2.5 in the spot.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like Texas Tech here. I just think they've had some bad luck. I think that people forget how close they were to ending Oregon's national title hopes really early, and how close that ball game was to being an upset. I think this is still a good football team. I think it's a coach that is still dialed in. I think it is a coaching staff that is completely bought in Lubbock. And so I expect to get a decent effort out of this football team. And in bowl season, that means a lot. I could see an under in this ball game too. The best part of Cal's team is their defense. I say that for a team that's given up over 30 points a game. But at the end of the day, that really is probably the best part of their team. So I can see this maybe being low scoring as well, but I like Tech here to get it done.
Yeah, this last game just got hit. Station's numbers moving, and they went to the over at 59, so it'll be interesting to see if that follows along. I will play Texas Tech in this one. So I've got 3 bets currently that we'll put those in, and we'll recap those back at the end. Next one we got here, Scotty, is the famous Toastery Bowl with Western Kentucky and Old Domino being played in Charlotte. I got nothing here. I would lean Old Domino. Western Kentucky just has not been good all season, but I got no play in this one.
I wouldn't bet this game with your money. Old Domino is probably stoked to be there because they only played 11 games, so they get in with a 5-6 record. At the end of the day, I got nothing on this game. I'm out.
Let's move on to a game that's about a driver and a 3-wood from your house. The Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl with UTSA and Marshall being played in this one. Line opened at 8.5 for UTSA. Over-under's at 56. Now UTSA is laying 12.5 with 53 being the number. Cam Fancher, the starting quarterback for Marshall's in the portal. He's apparently not going to – he's gone. But, you know, you read a lot of stuff, and apparently they didn't really like him in the locker room, so maybe they don't really give a shit that he's leaving, but we'll see. But the line's moved all the way up to 12.5, 13. I think they're expecting this to be the Frank Harris swan song game that's in there. But that's too many points. I'm not laying 13. I'm going to probably watch this game and see if there's an in-game spot for it. But I lean UTSA in a confidence pull, but I wouldn't bet this at 13.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Man, so pissed I can't go to this ball game Tuesday night. My son's got school, and I'm not going to torture him with going because he'll want to go. Sucks. So he's got school the next morning. This game's pretty late.
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, 8 o'clock kickoff. So
next game, I like this one a lot. The roofclaim.com Boca Raton Bowl that you've got USF and Syracuse playing this one. I do not understand this line at all. Syracuse is opened at -5.5. Now they're -3. Over-under is at 57.5, and it's moved all the way to 61. I like South Florida. I think they're a great underdog play in this spot. I think they get it done. Offensively, South Florida, I mean, most people only watch South Florida play the Alabama game early on in the season with that monsoon that was going on, and they were completely overmatched with the defense that Alabama had. This offense can go, and they put up a ton of points. We played them several times the last couple of weeks of the season. I'm taking South Florida as my money line underdog play. I like South Florida to get this one done.
This is probably my favorite line of the week.
Ooh, interesting.
That's probably my line of this group of, if it's not this, it's Georgia Southern. So that is those are the two games that I really like this week.
So biggest plays we got: South Florida, little Georgia Southern, Texas Tech would be one, and then I've got a little money line on New Mexico State would be my spot where I'm going to play it at -150 would be the four games that I'll probably get involved in here. And I'm going to play some first half unders, I'm pretty sure. I really think that with these guys being off for a couple of weeks, you've got to think too. I mean, I know you're trying to cram in all these extra practices, so that'll keep some focus on these guys. But with the coaches having to go through all the recruiting season, be in the portal, you just got to wonder how much focus is going to be on these. And typically you'll see defenses come out, because with defense, scheme is not necessarily the biggest thing you're going to get out of these things. It's a matter of just execution. And offense is a lot of time. We see it a lot in the beginning of the season. They just don't execute as well when you're not up to game speed. And all these teams have had several weeks off. So you can look at that. We've played that trend several times, but that's what I've got so far. So that'll get us all the way to Thursday, December 21st. Next one I got, let me ask you this. Do you have anything, leans, plays on the Natty yet?
I do not. I will tell you that that Texas-Washington game, I keep going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth because I talk myself into one side. I have loved Washington all year.
Yeah.
And that is what – that's what has me confused, and that's what I keep trying to research and talk myself out of. Do I just like them, and I've liked them because Texas is more talented? So I think that's going to be a great football game. Cannot wait to watch it. And yes, Alabama, I think, wins the ball game straight up. I think they beat Michigan. I think Michigan is so flawed on offense. I really do think that Bama's going to be able to score enough to win.
I would tell you right now, if you like Bama, go ahead and take it and get you some positive money line.
No question.
I guarantee you by the time – I'll be shocked when we do our podcast or by the day we get to game time, because you'll be able to lay seven figures on these games, and these syndicates will come down in these. And I think they're going to pound Bama. I really, really do. And – with Michigan, they play bully ball. They're going to try to overpower you. And I just don't think you can give Nick Saban a month to get ready for a football game, and he's going to get out-schemed in the trench. I mean, they're going to be healthy. They're going to be ready to roll. And I just can't see it. And so I would lean Bama. And I'm with you on the Washington stud. Washington getting +4. I don't hate it. I mean, I've got a Washington ticket to win the Natty. I've got a Bama ticket to win the Natty. It 40-1 that I bet on after the South Florida game. And so it wouldn't hurt me at all to see it. But I could see Texas pulling this one out. But I like Washington +4. I think this team's getting disrespected. They got disrespected the last time. And I think Kalen DeBoer, the one thing we haven't talked about because we didn't have a recap, the game offensive game plan that Washington had in that Oregon game and the play calling I thought was fantastic.
Yep.
And I was super impressed by Penix's execution. But the game plan, the creative play calling, I thought was the biggest difference in that game. And the other thing was, everybody talked about the Washington defense not being able to step up. I thought they played really well. I thought they controlled the line of scrimmage and were very aggressive.
Well, and they were. Everybody forgets they were banged up in that middle. And that's where, look, that's where playing in a league where it's not physical every week helps you, because they were able to get healthy and not get exposed. And this is true a lot of case times in the Big Ten too. Because a lot of those teams are physical, but the SEC is the same way. It, man, you get banged up and you're down three defensive linemen, and you got an All-American out because basically their best player was out or really banged up for a couple of 3 weeks. And you get exposed. I mean, that's what happens because there's so much talent in the league. And I had somebody tell me I'm just an SEC homer. No, I'm a talent homer. And the draft bears out that the SEC is the most talented league every year. I mean, Mississippi State, turn on a Sunday. There are Mississippi State guys making plays all over the NFL. One of the worst teams in the league. I mean, and even when those guys were there, Chris Jones and Jeffrey Sims, they were going 8-4.
Yeah.
I mean, it is insane how much talent's running around down there. And that gets me back to, you know, Washington was able to get through that. All my research all season said they had a chance to end up exactly where they're there, 12-0, at least 11-1. And boom, here they are, having won their conference. They're 13-0. This is a really good football team. And I think the same thing's true, but Texas went through that stretch. Everybody's, oh, well, they're going to lose because they got so-and-so and so-and-so. Well, they were banged up in the middle. They lost their quarterback. They were drilling Houston until Ewers gets hurt. You know, it's a different time. They lost their running back for a stretch. Get banged up during football season, and the great teams figure out how to find a way to keep winning, and which is very much to the argument of should Florida State be in there, because I do think that's a really good football team. I do think we have not talked about this, but I do think it is completely fabulous that the ACC commissioner is who prevented it from being a 12-team playoff this year, and they're the league that gets screwed. It kind of is what they deserve. Go blame your athletic director. You'd be still playing. And guess what? You'd be getting a bye week because they would have been the 4 seed if everybody's qualifying. Guarantee you they wouldn't have penalized them. So anyway, having said that, they got what they deserve. I think Washington is probably going to be my play. And I'm on Alabama already. I just don't think they're explosive enough. They got basically one really good wide receiver at Michigan, and I don't think he's going to be able to get open against that defensive back set. So I like Alabama here. I think they just get it done. I'll tell you what I think is going to stun Michigan is the first time the Bama QB takes off running and Milroe kicks it into gear.
He's so fast.
That guy is. They're going to be like, holy smoke, this guy's fast.
We played him in high school, dude. And, I mean, he was a grown man then. And so when the season first started this year and everybody's like, oh, this guy's not going to make it. This guy's not going to make it. I was like, man, look, I saw this dude play real live. And it's like he's just getting his feet underneath him a little bit. And, obviously, he's playing with a ton of confidence through there. And I like
him. Matt Jones at Arkansas.
Yeah.
All right. How he took those long strides, and until you played him, you didn't realize this guy's the fastest guy on the field.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly the way it is with Milroe. It's like he doesn't look like he's running hard, but it's like, boom, he's running past some DB, you know, and you're like, what in the world's going on? I do think that is going to, for the first half of the ball game, Michigan's going to be like, holy smokes, this guy's fast. He doesn't look like he's that fast.
No, he's
so I do think there will be an adjustment for that. I think there's an adjustment for most people the first time they played Milroe. Yeah. I really do. Because Texas never had to deal with it because they didn't try to run him.
No, he was – well, I mean, Matt Jones was fast. He was also snorting cocaine off his dashboard at certain points in his life. And so, I mean –
he may have been turning off a helmet at halftime. So
he had a little extra go-go. Going from that. Folks, that being said, give us some reviews. Hit us up on Twitter. We always enjoy the feedback, the nice notes. We'll be back with you next week. We get another bowl cast out that'll wrap us through Christmas, probably right up until the semifinals. And looking forward to trying to make a few extra dollars. But folks, do not go hard and heavy on these bowl games unless you're willing to dig in, because don't be surprised if we don't turn the game on and you look up and one of the guys you thought was playing may not be playing for whatever reason may be. Because that'll happen to you. It's happened to us before. And so, like I said, maybe bet a little half unit on some of these things and keep your winnings in your pocket. But, folks, it's been a great season, and we will talk to y'all again next week.